Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here with you. I always find it a great time to come and minister at the cathedral. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that now you move into as we move into the Word, open up our ears to hear and our hearts to receive, Lord, the wonders and the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, my wife and I were visiting in Singapore. We were ministering here early on the Sunday morning, and we were progressing to another church for a 10 o'clock service, and the van driver came to pick us up, and as we were going to the East Coast, the Bedok area, to minister, the van driver said, can I talk to you a minute? I said, sure. What do you want to talk about? He said, 3 years ago, you came to my church. I was confined to a wheelchair. I had third stage cancer, and the doctor says there's no hope for you. You're going to die. You came and you shared in our church, and one of my friends wheeled me up in the wheelchair and said, can you pray for my friend? He said, I didn't really have faith to believe that I could be healed, but you prayed for me. You laid your hands on me, and you asked Jesus to heal me. Then you said something strange. You said, you got to get rid of the wheelchair. Get rid of the wheelchair, and as soon as you do, you'll be healed. He thought, that's kind of strange. But he said, 3 days later, I got rid of the wheelchair, and 2 days later, I was completely healed of cancer. And now I'm the bus driver, and thank you for letting me come and take you to our church. You know, our God is a God of miracles. Our God loves us, and he has plans for us. I'd like to share with you kind of a short message. It has 4 points to it. The first one is about meditation. Psalm 19:14 was just read. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What type of meditations do you think God would be pleased with? Well, if we would meditate on the Word, that's something, if we can think about the Word. What does meditation mean? Do you know? It means to think about something, ponder over something, chew on something, contemplating on the words or thoughts. You know, if we will do that in thinking, you know, a good thing to think about is the scriptures on healing. I tell you, God has so many scriptures in the Bible for us that we can begin to believe, and if we'll begin to believe those scriptures, one of them is, by his stripes we can be healed. One of the parts of the crucifixion of Jesus didn't just die for our sins. He took wounds on his back. The scripture says, by those stripes we can be healed. Jesus died on a cross. Bible says, cursed is any man that hangs upon a tree. Therefore, Jesus delivered us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. When I look into the different ailments that affect people's lives and sickness and disease, I was told that I was sick and that the sickness that was upon my body as a youth would kill me by the age of 30. They said, you have an inherited disease. And it was asthma, and I had it in the worst way. I spent some of my school days under an oxygen tent just trying to breathe. And when I became really radically right with God and started to give 100% of my life to Jesus, and as I read the Bible, God began to give me a discovery that Jesus broke the curse. And if you understand hereditary sicknesses as a curse, you can apply the cross of Jesus and break the power of that bad inheritance. My mother had asthma. My grandmother had asthma. My great aunt had asthma. And when they prayed for me, I felt a little better. I said, okay. I took all my drugs, said, bye-bye. I'm going to believe God for total healing in Jesus' name. For 25 and a half hours, I was completely clear and could breathe. On the 26th hour, I thought I was going to die. I called up my pastor, breathing very heavily. I said, I need help. Please help me. You know, he thought he was talking to a drug addict, and then later he realized he was talking to his brother-in-law, me. and I was sick. I need to go to the hospital. He said, Rusty, let me pray for you. I want to break the power of the spirit of infirmity. He discerned it as a spirit of infirmity. I said, okay. He said, you come to me, I come to you. I said, okay, I'll come to you. I was sitting down and I hung the phone up on the wall because we didn't have cell phones back then. And I stood up, and when I stood up, it felt like an overcoat fell off of me. And the heaviness and the inability to breathe left. I took a deep breath. For the first time in my life, all lung sacs opened up and I could breathe clearly without wheezing. I called up my brother-in-law, said, hey, listen, I'm gonna make some bacon and eggs before I come over and eat breakfast. He said, no, it's 3:00 in the morning. You either come now or forget it. I said, I'll forget it. He said, why? He said, because when I stood up and said, I will go and receive prayer, I guess that demon didn't want to see you. He left, and I'm healed. And I've been healed for the past 46 years. Well, ever since 1972, I've been healed. God is a God of miracles, and He is still healing today. But I find there's a problem with us sometimes. I recognize there's pain in my body. I express that pain. Everybody asks you, oh, honey, how you doing? I said, oh, I feel bad. Oh, it really hurts today. You know, oh, I'm really sick. Well, the more I say what I feel, the worse the feeling gets. It seems like the grip of the sickness gets greater in my life. But if I would begin to speak what the scriptures say, meditate on the Word of God, let that meditation be really, truly deep in my heart, then all of a sudden, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. But if I have a bad meditation, then I'm going to have some bad results. The second thing is, in this meditation area, you can begin to envision. God wants to give you a vision. Joel 2:28 says, in the last day I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. There's something wonderful about having a vision. I don't know about you, but years ago I wanted a brand new van. And I had an old van. It had over 200,000 miles on it, and that would be something like 360,000 kilometers here. But, you know, I needed a new van. I didn't have money for a new van, so I put a picture up on my refrigerator and said, that's my new van. It's going to look just like that. It's going to have that beautiful color in Jesus' name. And I kept driving the old van. But every day I passed by, I said, that's my new car. That's my new car. Thank you, Jesus, for my new car. 6 months later, that new car was sitting in my driveway. What I'm trying to say is that we can begin to envision the Word. The Word can heal us. Jesus can heal us and set us free. The next point is magnify. Everybody turn to someone and say, magnify. You know what a magnifying glass is, don't you? Put that telescope, microscope, you know, magnifying glass, you can see things more clearly. Psalm 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. There's something wonderful about magnifying God, worshiping God. Well, my meditation, if I'll put the magnifying glass on it, then all of a sudden, my meditation is enlarged, and I can worship God with that magnification. But if our meditation is negative, full of fear, doubt, and unbelief, then my magnification will be magnifying the negative. We'll be magnifying what I don't have. Be magnifying all the things that I can't receive. I've got to make a switch in my prayers. I need to make a switch in my believing. Is the Word of God true? Or is this fable? Is this the Word of God? Is it true? Does it work for us today? Can we receive promises from the Word of God? Amen? Amen, we can. And as I get that Word into my heart, I begin to allow it to become greater than my problem, whatever my problem might be. So if my meditation is negative, then I'm going to have failure. I'm going to have lack of success. I might not get healing, might not have the provision. I might have find it hard to walk in the presence of God. But if my meditation is positive, if it's on the Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. If God doesn't give you the spirit of fear, who does? Mokwe. And I say, Mokwe Nikaiwa Fong Yesu Duming. Shishi Yesu. For all you unlearned Chinese people, that means devil, get out. In the name of Jesus. And so the key is that if I'm meditating on truth, the truth can make me free. But at some point, I have to give up the pain. At some point, I have to give up my ownership of the sickness. And when I do, I'm giving that ownership to Jesus. And from him, I'm taking his remedy. I'm taking his salvation. I'm taking his freedom. When my meditation is on trust and hope and faith and love and in believing the word is true for me, then when I begin to magnify this meditation, I'm going to have success. I'm going to have answers to prayers. I can receive healing, and I can receive the prosperity God wants to give me. The next point, point three, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So I find that Jesus died for us. Jesus rose again so we could have everlasting life. Now, I need to let the love of Christ compel me. Another version of Scripture says, let the love of Christ control you. What controls you? People hurt us. Anybody been hurt by a person? Don't have to raise your hand. It caused you conflict. It caused you anger. It caused you frustration. You felt rejected by other people. You know, if I allow bitterness and resentment to control me, then I could get sicker and sicker and sicker. I could not have the blessings that God wants to give me. If I hold on to those hurts that people do to me, I've got a choice. If I let the love of Christ control me, then I'm going to give him all of the negatives. I'm going to give him all of the hurt. I'm going to give him all of the bitterness. I'm going to give him everything that has failed in my life. I'm going to give that to Jesus. And from Jesus, I'm going to receive his love. And his love can control me. His love can compel me to do better things. Number four. He's going really quick here. Number fourth point is power from on high. Jesus promised when he was here on the earth, he gave to his disciples a portion of the Holy Spirit that was baptized upon him. He gave them the power to heal the sick, gave them the power to cast out demons, gave them the power to raise the dead, gave them the power to preach the gospel of the kingdom. When they went out and preached, they prayed and God did wonders. Sometimes they didn't receive what they prayed for. And some of the people who were going to ask for prayer got mad and said, "Jesus, your disciples prayed for me, but nothing happened." One time Jesus said, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." And then with one word, Jesus said, "Leave." And the demon left, the person was healed, and I'm thinking, man, Jesus fasted for 1 minute and it happened, you know. But he'd already fasted for 40 days. But what Jesus was saying is you got to believe that the power of God is at work today. Jesus gave the disciples a promise after resurrection. We find it in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus in verse 4 said, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For truly John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Allah, and all the other nations of the world. Acts chapter 2, we find that the Holy Spirit came upon 120 people waiting for the presence of God through the Holy Spirit to come. What happened? Boom! Louder than that noise over there. Okay? And tongues of fire came upon the people, and they all spoke with another language they had not learned. It was a mystery. It sounded strange to some of them. But other people heard them speaking in their own native tongue, realizing these guys were fishermen and other business people. They had never learned their language. This must be from God. Years ago, I was in Russia training young students to follow Jesus, and I was teaching a class on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When we prayed for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this one Russian young man said, "Glory to Jesus, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, Prince of peace. He is God." I said, "Hey, that's great, that's great." You know, not English, not Parushki Russian, but some other language. And everybody, four people were dancing around this guy and shouting hallelujah. And I said, "What are you guys shouting for?" He says, "You don't understand, Rusty. This guy's a deaf mute. He's never spoken in his life, and he never has heard any language. You prayed for him. His ears came open. His mouth came open. And now he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he's speaking English." I said, "Keep on praying in tongues." For him, it was tongues. For me, it was English. Hallelujah. I'm fine. I have no problem with it whatsoever. See, when the power of God comes, he can break a yoke. When the power of God comes, he can bring healing. When the power of God comes, he anoints us so we can be used mightily for God. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18 says this. This was after Jesus' resurrection, and he was giving a command to his disciples that they were to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in verse 15 he says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything, it will not hurt them. They will." Everybody hold your hands up like this. Hold your hands up. Come on, everybody. If you're a believer in Jesus, hold your hands up, okay? Now, this is what Jesus said about believers. It wasn't just about ministers of the gospel, but it was about believers. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In the name of Jesus, you'll lay your hands on sick people and they will die," right? No, they will be recovered. They can be healed. So you, as a believer, can lay hands on others to receive healing. Ministers like myself and like our priests here, we also have the authority to lay hands on people, anoint you with oil, pray with the prayers of faith, and see God do miraculous signs and wonders. Jude verses 20 through 21 says, "But you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." The admonition was, as you're baptized in the Spirit, keep praying in the Spirit. You want to build up your faith? Then build it up by praying in the Spirit. Many times I've been to 63 nations. Some of those nations I've been to 100 times, like this nation. But, you know, and I found that when I'm weak, I found that when I'm not really seeing the results I'm looking for, then I just begin to worship God again. I back up and start praising God. I sing in the Spirit. I pray with the prayer language. And I wait for the Lord, and God gives me a prayer to pray. I was in China a few years ago, and I was just having a small group in my hotel room, sang, we worship God. I shared something from the gospel. I started prophesying over some people. I started to prophesy over a 14-year-old girl, and the leader of the group says, no, 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 no need to pray for her. No need to pray for her. I said, why not? She's a deaf mute from birth. I said, well, that's right. She doesn't need to hear a message from me. She needs a miracle from God. Let me pray for her. I laid my hands on her ears, and I prayed. I stepped back. I spoke. She couldn't hear. Laid my hands on her again, and then she didn't get healed again. I said, oh, God, did I misunderstand what you wanted me to do in this place? And I began to pray in the Spirit. And I said, Lord, could you please give me a prayer that will work? My two prayers didn't work. And when I rested a moment, the Lord said, ask the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus. And so I prayed again, and I said, Holy Spirit, come glorify Jesus. I stepped behind the woman, and I clapped my hand. And she goes, one clap, two claps, three claps, and her ears came open. Prayed for her speech. The first thing she said was, hallelujah. It's kind of hard to say if you can speak, you know. But she said, hallelujah. I checked back 3 years later, and this young lady is still healed. And she went on to university, got a degree. God is a God of miracles. Amen? And God can bring miracles to us today. 4 points. One, I spoke about meditation. Two, if you add magnification to it. Three, you add the power of praying in tongues. Four, you walk in the love of Christ. Then God will bring His power into process, and we can begin to experience a mighty move of the kingdom of God. God is here now. How do I know? Wherever two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of us. We have a wonderful opportunity tonight to do three things. One is to exercise our faith. God has given to every person a measure of faith. And part of what we need to do is we need to give up whatever is the hindrance in our life, be it sickness, be it disease, be it pain, be it suffering, be it sorrow, whatever the problem is. I need to give that to Jesus. You will need to give that to Jesus. From Jesus, we receive freedom. We receive healing. Sometimes when I pray for people, they're waiting and waiting to be feel different. I don't feel different. I don't feel different. Well, pray to get. Nope, I still don't feel different. Said, well, then what you need to do is activate your faith to believe. Begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, this morning, we had 40 people and 50 miracles. We had several people with deaf ears open up. Several ladies who came in with a cane, walked out with a cane. And one brother came and said, I got a terrible knee problem. I can barely walk. Prayed for him. He jumped up. Man, am I healed. And he practically ran out of there. You know, Jesus, can I explain it? I've tried my best to explain it right here. But I know that God loves our faith. I know that God loves us. My prayers are never like this. Oh, Lord God, I ask that you heal this person. She loves you so much. Father, would you please heal her and set her free in Jesus' name? But Lord, if you don't heal her, we completely understand. Man, that's how most people pray, you know. They put the disclaimer just in case it doesn't work. No. Never put a disclaimer on it. You might not get instantly healed. That's why there's this scripture that says they laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Anybody had an operation? Gone to the doctor, had an operation? After the operation, they bring you to one of two rooms. One, it's called the recovery room because they expect you to recover. Or they send you to the M room, which is the morgue. You did not make it. But, you know, so I go to that recovery room. It takes me a little while to come out of the anesthesia. It takes, and then put me in another room. It takes me a little while longer to get out of the hospital. But I did recover. You did recover. Jesus believes in recovery. Do you? Not sure. Do you believe that Jesus' word is true? Amen? Amen. You know, I had the misfortune of 3 years ago finding out I was almost dead. I thought I was alive, you know, but they took some tests and they said, sir, you've got blood pressure 250 over 130, I think it was. And they wanted to rush me to the hospital. And I said, you're not my doctor. I'm going to go to my own doctor and get that read again, you know. But it turned out that that's what it was. I had to take a sabbatical. And I said, Lord, I don't really appreciate this. What do you want me to do on this sabbatical? He said, well, Rusty, you've been trying to write a book for 30 years, so finish it. So I did. It's this book right here. It's called Journey of Miracles, We Can Be Healed. We've got principles for healing, and then prayers we can pray, and testimonies of others who've received healing. Some of them are from Singapore. And, you know, this is both a where you can get the scriptures and put them in your heart, believe God for healing, and then you can pray for others. And God is doing a miraculous work. I want to ask you a question. Do you want to experience God tonight? Three or four, that's good. So the Lord tells me there's 17 people with pains in your head and neck and shoulders, upper shoulders. You find it hard to roll your shoulders. Tonight, if you receive prayer, God can heal you. There's 4 people with pains in your gut. You have a hard time digesting your food. And I think it's called, it could be called constipation, but it's like slow movement. It takes a long time for your food to move through your system. Just prayed for a lady and God healed her of that, and she's all regular now. And so, I mean, God can do it. There's 3 people with a deaf left ear and 1 person with a deaf right ear. What am I doing? God is just telling me these types of people with these types of conditions are here. And God has ability to heal if we will give him the sickness and believe God and receive prayer. There's one lady here. You're so distraught over problems in your life that you have really laid up a challenge to God. Say, God, if you're really God, then is there a prayer that can heal me and set me free? And God says, yes, there is, but you must humble yourself. Somebody very stubborn, doesn't really like to humble themselves, doesn't really wants to get her revenge. Well, you've got to give up your revenge. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So what does God want us to do? Forgive them and receive God's forgiveness and let God deal with that person. There's 2 people here and your family members have committed suicide and you're next in line. It is a curse. Let me pray for you tonight, and I believe Jesus will break that curse, and you don't have to die the same death. What am I saying? God is a God of miracles. God is a God of deliverance. And I'm just identifying a few of them here. There are other things that people are in conflict with. If you want to receive prayer tonight after our worship in the Eucharist, we're going to have the altar open and we're going to begin to pray for people. And I believe if you'll give your sickness, you'll give your pain and suffering to Jesus, if you'll give everything that's wrong in your life to Jesus, he will bear that for you. He will bring a fresh new heart into you. He can bring healing into your body and set you free. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for strength. I pray, Lord God, that I remove all that fear. You've probably been prayed for 1,000 times before. Receive 1 more prayer. Let's believe God for a miracle. We thank you, Lord. You're here to do awesome things in Jesus' name. Amen.